good Tuesday afternoon to one and all. This is your hero, Mark Biro, for another sparkling hour here on WMNF 88.5. It's like spring water here. Nothing too heavy for your gullet. But anyway, just welcoming you in. If you want to join us in the conversation, and it's going to be a pretty interesting one, I think. I'm going to ask you your opinion. Who will Joe Biden pick as his vice presidential candidate or his partner? To me, I'd like to hear from you, since they're talking about that announcement coming down the pike, so to speak, very quickly. Might be today. But that's the only thing on my mind. There's a lot to discuss, and we'll do that. Here's another question. Where is Zebulon? Have any of you other listeners heard from Zebulon? I'm hoping, and so is Rob, that he's doing fine. And we're all praying. We haven't heard him in such a long time. I guess maybe he's sick of hearing the same old things. And he's very well versed, but he's one of our very missed callers here to the station. But your calls are missed as well. And we have everybody lining up now. So let me give you the numbers here at WMNF 88.5. With your hero, Mark Biro, on midpoint, 813-239-9663. We'll go right to the phones, right to the fun. I could sit here and talk all day, as you know. Here is Jim in St. Pete. Hello, Jim.
Hey, Mark. It seems like the logical thing that somebody like Biden would do would be select Susan Rice. But they'll scream Benghazi from the first moment he does that. And beyond that, I can't understand why he created an issue by having the woman from Michigan come to Delaware. You know, why would he do that? I just don't understand.
Do you think she would be a bad choice?
Well, yeah, it's not a bad choice. I don't think any of them would be a bad choice, but, you know, it's like the police chief of Orlando, and these people are not qualified. Susan Rice is qualified, but, you know, she's kind of a war hawk, isn't she? And her father was a governor of the Federal Reserve, so you know she's pretty straight down the capitalist line, you know? So, obviously, Elizabeth Warren would be a great, great vice president, but you're just, you know, he has to select someone, I think, the prosecutors, I think, make bad presidents. You know, I think it's just a bad policy. But it just seems like he is going to choose.
Who do you want him to choose, Jim?
I would prefer that he choose Elizabeth Warren as vice president. And make what's her name from California the
Attorney General?
Justice Department.
Yeah.
And then, you know, there are other people who could be slotted in real easily, but it's just not going to work that way. So you have to realistically say he's got to choose. The kind of normal person from California, the older black woman who's been around the Congress for a long time, didn't she vote against, wasn't she the only vote against the Iraq War?
Yes, I know who you're talking about, but I don't think you're referring to the same person, I think. I just can't think of the name, but yes, yeah. I've heard that. Well, think about it, Jim. Is any one of the ones that are being considered the top 10, let's say, don't they all have something? I mean, don't you think, whether they have something or not, that this president and the Republican opposition and third-party candidates will find something to taint them with?
Well, probably so. You know, that's why they'll make something up. You know, they'll just do anything. Apparently, obviously, he's just going to do anything. If you will, you try to destroy the United States Postal Service, you will do anything.
Yeah, that's pretty. But you know what's more alarming to me? Excuse me. The many post office people that support this guy.
I know.
I mean, I know post office people. I have very good friends who, by the way, for the record, would never vote for Trump because they know where their interests lie. But you know how many people that work for the post office love him?
Well, I don't work for the post office. I work with people from the post office, carriers.
Yeah.
All the time, you know, on a one-on-one with carriers. So I'm in an unusual position. They are reluctant, to say the least, to say anything about the great leader.
Yeah.
And so you can't tell who is against the great
leader. Well, and more probable than not, they're probably ex-military people, too.
Yeah, a lot of them are the you know, there's a whole new generation of them that are not. They're just they're like temporaries. They're lower paid. They're typically black. You know, it's just it's changed. I've been doing it for 30 years, and it went from all white military men and maybe one black woman who is 6'2" to you know,
eyes of blue,
a totally diverse group of people.
Okay, Jim, thanks for starting it off.
One more thing, Mark.
Yes.
Where is the anger? Where is the screaming about what's going on? Who's leading the charge? What's going on here?
I think we see the anger in the demonstrations that are being conducted in Oregon, in Seattle, and all over the country. But you're right. I think from average folks...
Not in Schumer, not in Pelosi, not in these people... There's just no anger there. There's no passion there. They're passionless.
Well, I don't know. I think they've got some good direction, but we'll see what others think, okay?
Okay.
Thank you, Jim. Appreciate the call. Let's talk to Mike in St. Pete. Hello, Mike.
Hey, Mark.
Hey, 49er Mike.
Good that you're back, man.
Thank you.
Yeah.
It's good to hear from you.
Well, thank you. Miss you. I just want to touch on a couple of points that need fixing after January 20th on the assumption that Trump is not reelected. And I think that first of all, we have to stop the pandemic. I don't know whether this is obvious to everyone or not. It even trumps the, so to speak, the Black Lives Matter movement.
Yes, I understand, yes.
We have to stop that. And I believe that we also have to hold those who are responsible for this debacle accountable. That there has to be hearings. And if people need to be indicted, they should be. And held accountable for it, including Trump.
Well, I'm sure if Trump does not get reelected, that's going to happen.
I sure hope so. I sure hope so. I think that's critical. After that, I think obviously we have to restore the jobs and the businesses that are failing and get our economy back on track. That's obvious, too. And treat the victims of the pandemic at government expense. I don't think anyone who gets sick from COVID-19 should have to pay a penny.
I agree. I agree with you.
This is outrageous. People are dying in their homes.
Well, maybe Kodak will come up with the anesthetic or whatever.
Yeah, or maybe Xerox. You know?
Xerox is next, yeah.
Yeah, or I don't know, Apple.
Or the 49ers.
Well, I don't know. We might have to wait on that.
But you think they'll play?
I think the season is a goner.
Yeah, I do too.
Yeah.
Well, that's one less thing I have to worry about.
Well, there's nothing we can do, Mark. It's out of our hands.
It is.
We also have to, starting in January, reform our electoral system, not to change the subject, but we have a terrible system here, and we all know about it, starting with the Electoral College.
Well, Mike, since I have you, and I agree with you, that needs to be changed, and it needs to be changed right away. Yes. But it's not going to happen till after the election, if it ever will. But, by the way, just your thought, who should Joe Biden pick for his running mate?
Well, I think Joe has painted himself into a corner here. I think he's the black community would be very disappointed if a black woman is not selected.
I don't know. I think they can be placated with the knowledge that he has said he would nominate a black Supreme Court justice nominee.
Well, that would be something to hope for.
Well, he said it. He's on the record.
Well, I mean, as far as having the desired effect with the electorate, I'm worried about it. I like Elizabeth Warren, but the problem with her is that if she becomes vice president, her governor in Massachusetts is a Republican, and he would name a Republican to replace her, and that might cost us the Senate. And if we lose the Senate, it's all down the drain.
Yeah, that's why I think he won't pick her or Kamala, believe it or not.
Well, I'm not so worried about Kamala because the Democrat is governor in California.
All right, Mikey. I appreciate the call, brother.
Good to hear from you.
I'm glad you're up and around.
I am, so far.
Thanks for calling in.
Right. Bye-bye.
Here's the number, 813-239-9663. This is WMNF 88.5. Let's hear from the other Mike in Tampa. Hello, Mike.
Yeah. Hello. How you doing?
All right.
As far as Joe Biden's running mate is concerned, I don't really care who he picks. It doesn't matter to me. I'm not going to vote for him anyway.
Right.
All of them are straight down the line capitalists. Including Joe Biden himself. That's just Joe Biden himself.
Yeah.
So it really doesn't matter that much who he picks. He's not going to change any of his stance, any of his positions, some of the issues based on who his vice president is.
Okay.
So
the question doesn't really matter to you?
No, it doesn't.
Okay, Mike, I appreciate the call. Got right down to business. Here is Angela in Lakeland. Hello, Angela.
Hello, Mark. Forgive me for going backwards for a minute.
Okay.
I know you'll appreciate this.
I'm backwards all the time, so go ahead.
Aren't we all?
Yeah.
I wanted to reply to a question that Rob, last caller, asked. What happens if Trump won't leave office and declares the vote fraudulent and won't leave office?
Yeah.
Well, I learned the very, very happy answer to that question a short time ago. If Trump is still president on January 20, 2021, and there is no declared winner of the November 3rd election,
Nancy Pelosi becomes the president.
Nancy Pelosi becomes Speaker of the House, and she can send the marshals to remove the holdover tenant of the White House.
Well, don't worry. I know that will happen. I'm not worried about it. The fact that he's raised it shows you how desperate he is. But it's going to be interesting. Don't believe the polls. Everybody has to go out and vote, even if it's support of Trump. They have to do it.
And by the way, I would like Stacey Abrams to be the vice president.
Okay, Stacey Abrams, the former governor...
Candidate for
governor in Georgia, yes.
Correct.
She's excellent.
She's a firebringer.
Yes, she is. Thank you. Thank you, Angela.
Thank you, Mark.
Thank you for joining our program. You're listening to Midpoint Talk on WMNF 88.5 with your hero, Mark Biro, 813-239-9663. Here is Kiara in Sarasota. Go ahead, Kiara. Real good.
Good. The other gentleman, I believe he said he was not going to vote because he was not a Biden fan.
Yeah.
I just want to put it out there. Anytime you don't vote in this election, I think might be a vote for Trump, and that's something to think about.
Well, that we've had that discussion with Mike before, and it doesn't matter. And yet, his food stamps have gone down from $400 a month to under, as he said, $100 or something like that. This is a guy who is highly dependent upon social services and feels that, you know, he'll get it from third party, which he isn't wrong about that, except he has to vote for who he wants, who he thinks will best represent him.
That's a shame. I mean, voting, there's nothing more important. I was raised that no matter who you vote for, you vote, and you vote in the primaries, and you do it because it's a privilege, and you're right, and otherwise you're going to live, you might as well live in Russia or somewhere where it doesn't matter who or what you vote for.
Yes.
Quick comment, I just want to throw in, and I'm a little late to the table on this, so I don't know if you guys have discussed this already in the past. Mary Trump's book, I just finished it. It's an easy read. I did it in two sittings. It's only about 200 pages.
Yes. I read it already, too.
Did you read it?
It's excellent.
Isn't it? Oh.
I tell you what bothers me. Forget all the things she says about Trump. We already know she gives a reason why he behaves the way he does. But I tell you, just to hear the way they settled their, inheritance, and the way they blocked out the grandson, who is highly dependent on medical needs.
Yeah.
I mean, just shows you how ruthless these people with money can be.
Ruthless is a very good word. I mean, in my opinion, it was a family of vipers that were all the spawn of Fred Trump. And
yeah.
I think anybody, if you're a moderate, read it. And, you know, I know true Trump believers will not read it, but anybody else really needs to read it, because especially in the last two chapters, she just makes it so clear and concrete how dangerous this person is and why. And
I really enjoyed the relationship between her and the president's mother, her grandmother. That was incredible to see how all that went down.
I know.
Someone who takes care of the grandmother and visits her and so on and so forth. And for her to be disinherited the way she was, very sad.
I know. They just end up showing their true colors always in the end when it comes to money. And the lies and the manipulation, it's just hideous. And I'm just so glad that she wrote that book. I give her a lot of credit. It's, you know, it's a bit dangerous because God knows it. I mean, I realize Trump doesn't read very often, so he probably won't even read half the book. But
she's a very good read.
Yeah, he's a revengeful dude. So,
thank you, Kiara.
Thank you, Mark.
Have a good day. Thank you for calling. You know, we're going to go right to Lakeland and talk to Simon. Hello, Simon.
Hi, Mark. With regard to Danny, I'll address that. I don't have a problem with his challenge. Let me read this real quick. This is the answer to your question and Rob's question about Zebulon.
Okay.
This was on Facebook at WMNF. This is from him. The noon hour talk shows have seriously devolved into useless rhetoric with little research. And if you challenge their assumptions, you're considered a troublemaker. I stopped contributing and calling in after Rob was fired, and when they added that apartheid apologist show Third Opinion, I checked out completely. Zebulon. So that's
okay.
Why he doesn't call.
Okay, well, thank you for reading that to us.
No problem. And as far as the database that I have, I've collected over 26 books from July 22nd that some of the readers, the progressive readers, would read about Donald Trump, from Madeleine Albright's fascism to lies to the government to chaos. There's so many books out there on the fact that this country is just falling apart.
You're saying that those books detail that as a basis for their book?
Absolutely. There's even a trilogy by Abramson. I mean, I'll next week I'll call them in. There's 26. There's also a documentary on Showtime that the New York Times put out on Donald Trump. And it's just a vast amount of information. I wish there was that same amount of information of the previous administration, but I guess
people... You don't think there is?
Not of the number of books. As far as the interviews, all these people that have written books that I have a list of have all been granted interviews on mainstream media.
Well, I don't know what you've been reading or what shows you've been watching, but man, I'm going to come here with a list of at least 50 books about Obama, okay? I mean, really critical stuff. Some of it unfair, a lot of it things that I agreed with, but and things that we've spoken about on this radio station, but I understand.
And many of those authors were interviewed by ABC, NBC, CNN, MSNBC. I miss the old days of Keith Olbermann. That's when we truly had news.
I see. All right, Simon, I appreciate it. And Danny is coming up next, yes, so he can answer you.
And next week when I call back, I'll tell him exactly the bet, okay?
Okay, that'll be good.
All right, take care.
Thank you, Simon. Now I'll say something for Simon. He was the only guy that placed a wager this year, this election year. I have Chuck and Jeff. But Simon, who never wages, and believe it or not, Simon really didn't believe that this president would win. But he was willing to put something up on it. I took him up on it, and I paid him. I paid him. And he'll say that. Let's go to the phones and to the fun. Talk to Danny. Hello, Danny.
Hello, Mark, and thank you very much, Simon, for accepting my challenge on the bet. But he said next week he's going to define the bet.
Yes, he will.
Yeah, I guess soon.
Yeah, and then you can react to it.
Okay, yeah, and we know how to get hold of
it. Sure, sure.
That's no problem. Also, a big shout out to your cousin Tito. Rosetti Tito, that he called me Sunday night, but I wasn't home. I was at my sister's. That's a long message, and didn't know his number, couldn't call him back. But, you know, you tell him I love him, and he was just expressing a lot of stuff about Trump that you agree on. And, Tito, you're just great, fantastic, brother.
He's a troublemaker.
I know it. But, you know, Mark, I'll tell you what. You know who I'd like to see vice president? I know this is a farce. It's just not going to happen. But if Michelle Obama had decided that she wanted to, accept that, and he would have picked her, that would have been the best. But let's get to reality. I like Stacey Abrams, okay?
Okay.
Yeah.
That's two for her.
Kamala Harris might rub people the wrong way, you know?
Yeah.
Any one of them is better than this thing we have.
Well, of course.
Of course, of course. Now, back to the post office. You were talking about that earlier. There are a lot of right-wingers that work in the post office.
Oh, my God. I know. Man, I know it firsthand. Believe it or not, Danny, well, you do because you know. I used to go with Ray Garcia to the monthly union meetings. And that was incredible to hear from some of those guys.
I remember some of the stories you would say at the guy who.
Oh, it's unbelievable!
Unbelievable! And the guy told you last week that you wouldn't want to bet. All of a sudden, you didn't want to bet. He was at the post office too for years, and he's a big Trumper.
Yeah,
goes to show. Yeah, yeah. So that's what Trump is trying to do. He's trying to steal the election. He's trying to go ahead and try to stop the mail from being delivered in the mail-in ballot. Simple as that. And because he's desperate, Mark. He says that the kids are immune to this, you know? The
yeah.
97,000 in the last month kids have caught this. Let him tell that to the parents of the 7-year-old who passed away last week in Georgia. Let him tell them right there to their face, you know, your kid was immune, man. Yeah. Let's see what they would tell him, Mark. And they, but yet, what do people want to? What's important to people? People like Chuck. Oh, I don't want to wear a mask, man. Well, just put money in my pocket and get the sports going back on, man. Get that sports. We have to have a winner. We have to have a loser. We have to have that, man. Don't we? Come on, man. You know what, man? Face it. It's not going to be here, and it shouldn't be here. And those people are being pressured. People like Laura Ingraham sitting there saying that they should obey. That the administration is in their way from her beloved Alabama Crimson Tide playing football. Sick. We've forgotten more than she knows about football.
Yeah.
You. Okay?
Well,
these people are sick. Got to have a winner. I told you before, and I realize this now, and I don't care. I'm never going to. Sports, really and truly, is not that good. Sports, really and truly, prevents you from cooperating, and I'm all about cooperation. If you compete with somebody, how can you cooperate with them? But you got to have a winner. You got to have a loser. A winner, a loser. The only thing I want to win is this election, okay?
How about Turk Loan?
Oh, my God. Really and truly, man. I mean, come on, man.
All right, Danny. Thank you.
Well, you take care.
You know, we'll be at the Boys Club sometime, and we'll mention a baseball player from the past, and it was incredible to see everybody just react to it. Here is Richard in Tampa. Hello, Richard.
Hello, Gordon. How you doing today?
Open the door, Richard.
Tag me in.
All right, brother. We're tagged.
All right, I want to make a comparison, and it's really disgusting what's going on in our country today, how the poor and the middle class are basically getting eliminated and wiped off of our good American soil, which we are true Americans, a lot of us Americans, and a lot of people are slowly whittling away because of the way they're being treated.
Yeah.
And this comparison is going to be to a wrestler, very okay. famous wrestler that passed away. Actually, he was murdered. But the comparison is to do with Trump. And Trump is how he is making these types of moves constantly and exercising this authority that he thinks he has that no one will stand up to him. Okay? And he's getting away with this ruthless amount of, you know, power and how he's exercising it every day. And he's taking more than a couple inches. He's taking miles.
Yeah.
And moving in a direction which is very dangerous and it's very scary for people who can see what's going on. Now, the comparison is going to be to this wrestler. I watched this match the other day, and his name was Frank Gotish, who was Bruiser Brody, who was murdered in Puerto Rico by
yes.
stabbed.
I remember that.
But I saw this match, and I saw the guy he was wrestling. He was a really tough wrestler. His name was Kevin Sullivan.
Yeah, a Tampa favorite.
Yeah, and it was at the Sportatorium, and long story short, the move that Bruiser Brody, Frank Gotish, used on Kevin Sullivan, who was ruthless, I mean, this guy could take pain or anything, he put him in this move, it was called a torture rack, and I saw Kevin, he couldn't take the pain.
Yes, he submitted.
Yes, well, that's what the American people were feeling today. If you look at the stock market for the last 7 to 10 days, I mean, that thing's through the roof. Now, who's profiting through this pandemic? I mean, you got riots going on in Seattle and Portland. I mean, you got all kinds of natural disasters going on everywhere with people out of power up in the north and fires in Colorado. I mean, we've forgotten about our border wall. We've forgotten about everything else that we need to be paying attention to. And this man has got the American people in a torture rack.
Well, I would put it in a wrestling metaphor, I would say it would go right along with manager J.C. Dykes. Thank you, Richard. I appreciate it. All right, you're listening to Midpoint Talk on WMNF 88.5. And here is the number, 813-239-9663. Let's talk to Ron in West Tampa. West Tampa, Ron. Hello, Ronnie.
Mark, great to hear you. And what do you mean, West Tampa? I just kayaked all the way from Waikiki Beach.
Yeah, that's
to get
true.
Out of the time zone.
That's right.
It wasn't easy. But I just wanted to hit on a couple of things, Mark. You were asking, who do you think is going to be the vice presidential
pick? Yes.
Pick. Well, me, myself, I think that he's going to pick Susan Rice. I'm thinking that they're going to hit on the fact that she hasn't been in any elected office, if that's not incorrect.
Right.
I think she's been appointed but never elected. Well, to that I would say, so what? Neither was our president before he got elected. Okay.
Right.
I like Stacey Abrams a lot.
Yes, she's very articulate. Very.
She
looks like an average person, you know, a regular mom type person.
Oh, right, and I have no reason to assume she's anything but that. And I also like Elizabeth Warren, and kudos to Mike and St. Pete. I heard your call, and I agree with Mike. I agree with your assessment about her absence and what it might do to the part, to the Senate.
Yes.
But I like Elizabeth Warren. I like her maturity. I mean, I could slice and dice some things that she has spoken to and critique them in my own way. But, I mean, hey, I think she's a person of integrity, no doubt about it, in my opinion. And I think that she's got the smarts so that if, God forbid, if, let's say, Joe Biden is elected and, God forbid, he passes away in office, despite the fact that, oh, people say, oh, she's not that young. Well, I think with her poise and her experience, I think she would be able to take office, you know, pretty well and do a good thing.
Yes.
So my last question to you is, what do you think about this Social Security thing? I mean, I was outraged, and, you know, I've made some calls to my so-called senators and reps, but don't you think it's a complete crime against all the good working people of this country? And I hear a lot of your callers, and I'm with them 100%. I can't understand. I don't find it surprising, though.
It's not surprising. What's surprising are the number of people, when you tell them the position, you know, generally taking away Social Security or privatizing it, their reaction is, no, it won't happen. Don't worry.
Yeah. And you know where I work, and I'm still amazed at the number of people in my place of employment who are not just rallying around this president, which it's their right to do it, but they are also holding on to that philosophy that, oh, Social Security is pure socialism. We have the stock market,
yeah,
blah, blah, blah. We'll do okay.
Well, my cousin Brian, who you well know, he faces that all the time.
Yeah.
In his job.
Mark, it's great to hear you, buddy. Keep up the good work.
Same here, Ronnie. Go have some coffee.
Coffee, Hawaii. We'll see
you. All right, brother. Thank you so much. You're listening to Midpoint Talk on WMNF 88.5, 813-239-9663. Let's see who's been here. Greg. Greg in Sarasota. Hello, Greg.
Hey, how are you doing today?
Just fine.
I hope Elizabeth Warren gets it as well, because that'll just make it that much easier for Trump. One thing that everybody that calls in is not realizing or not remembering, because I know the memories are very, very short on most people, but this country's never, ever flourished as well as it has before this COVID stuff, and we're going to rebound and get back up there. We've instilled control and power over the rest of the world, which we should have, because we protect it, and we haven't had hardly any attacks all over the world has gone down tremendously because we're feared. And that, see, that's the thing that a lot of Democrats don't understand. We need to be feared. It's a very important thing in the world. It's not all tree hugging and hit the peace pipe and, hey, give everything to everybody. The rest of the world wants everything we have, and they're going to do everything they can to get it. So unless we're very protective and very proactive, which our president has been, and he should be applauded for, but he's not getting credit for anything. If he mistakes steps in a word or something like that, oh, he's a dummy. But let's really take a good look at what he's doing. He's cleaning up the government. Our government is our worst enemy, to be honest with you. Social Security will go away because Democrats, Republicans, both of them, that's a huge chunk of change.
Are you invested in the stock market?
Absolutely not.
You're not.
That's a fool's gesture as well. Look, I believe in one thing. Hold on to your money. All the rest is...
Yeah, but Trump believes in it.
Smoke and mirrors.
Trump believes it.
Well, he's a billionaire. So let him believe in what he wants to believe.
Well, he says he's a billionaire.
Well, is anybody else? Come on, man. We don't even. It does. We talk about that. What does that matter? Look at the leadership of where our country's going. It's made leaps and bounds. We're putting China in its place, which it should be in its place. Everybody's misconstruing. You can make up whatever numbers and polls and this, that, and the other. Just look at where our country was right before the pandemic. Fantastic. Small business owners doing wonderful. Everything is flourishing. Money hand over fist. I know. I own a small business. I've never seen business the way it is. And the outlook future is good. But paint the brush with the Democratic side, and it's the worst it's ever been. That's just amazing to me. Hey, have a good day, guys.
Okay, Greg. Run along. I knew you would. Let's talk to Chuck, who probably agrees with the previous caller.
These damn Trump voters are everywhere. We can't get rid of them.
I know. There's so many of them.
That's awful. Hey, good afternoon, Mark.
Good afternoon to you.
Every week you come in and you do a broadcast show, your radio show, and you handle it accordingly, and you say the right things. You know not to drop the F-bomb and all the words you're not supposed to drop. Yet, buffoon Joe Biden pops his head out of the bunker, and this guy, every time he pops his head out, he can't say the right thing. Why should that guy be leading this country?
You think Trump says all the right things?
I'm not talking about Trump.
You have to vote. You already talked about Biden. You don't look at Trump?
We talked about Trump for 4 years straight.
Well, he's in office.
There's two people running.
But he doesn't say stupid things.
He doesn't say stupid things like that. There's stupid things.
You mean like in Lebanon, there's an attack on Lebanon?
Asking a black journalist if he's a junkie and if he's had a cocaine test, you are comparing those two?
Well, I'll tell you what. There's no comparison to... You're not really telling me that this guy that you support is a truth teller.
I'm just telling you what I see.
By the way, Chuck, did you hear since yesterday's press conference... Did you hear anything about that assailant that they shot outside the proximity or in the proximity of the White House?
No, I haven't. I haven't really followed up on that.
Well, the reason I ask is I heard the guy was unarmed. And I was wondering, I'm going to have to look online a little more. I looked all day this morning.
I haven't heard anything about it since it happened, but...
Yeah, I'm interested in that. What kind of a nut would do something like that?
I want to make my prediction on the VP pick.
Okay.
I think it's going to be Susan Rice, and then Stacey Abrams is going to come blowing through the wall like the Kool-Aid man, and she's going to put Joe Biden in the chokehold for not picking her because she deserved the spot.
All right, that sounds interesting.
Okay.
All right, Chuck.
I know words. I have the best words. He was awarded the Bronze Star and the Combat Infantryman Badge. Heroin alone, if you look at the heroin epidemic. Last year alone, ICE officers removed 10,000 known or suspected gang members.
And to delegitimize
heart, lung, and liver transplants.
And his daughter, Laura. At a reception for the Italian.
And we are reclaiming our noble heritage.
Companies are really big beneficiaries.
Patriotic citizens who want their families protected. Made a pivotal, really, and I mean this was pivotal.
To fully reauthorize the 9/11 victims, the National Humanitarian Medal.
Ever foistered.
Women's basketball national championship.
That's light as far as I'm concerned. That's very light. Here is Pete in Tampa.
Hey, Mark.
Hey, Pete.
Old fan going all the way back to the Shake Your Culo days.
Oh, yes, at FLA.
You got to play that one of these days.
I have to do that.
I'm also a personal friend of Zebulon. I hope he doesn't mind me bringing this up, but he apparently is doing fine.
Glad to hear it.
I did not realize what you had said earlier, and that explains a lot. But he's being a very good father to his four children and appears to be okay. So
yeah, he always seemed very steadfast and dedicated that way, especially.
He's one of the most intelligent people I've ever
met. Oh, he's very, very intelligent.
Extremely. My personal pick would be Val Demings. I've been quite impressed when I've seen her on television.
Yes.
If she could deliver...
A former Orlando chief...
police?
Police woman.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If she could deliver Florida, and I don't know, I don't know what the numbers are on that, then I would definitely be behind her.
Well, right now, the numbers in Florida, which I don't trust, I think he has a 6% lead, Biden,
exactly.
In Florida.
Exactly. But if she would widen that lead, I'd get behind her. But I'm pretty good with almost any of the people in contention. One last thing you might want to pass along to Mikey, that maybe he should take a look at the Kanye West campaign. Could be the new Jill Stein for him.
Well, that could be, he liked Roseanne Barr one time, so, that could work, as long as it's not a Democrat.
Oh, of course not.
I appreciate it, Pete.
Thank you, Mark.
Thank you, sir. Pistol Pete on the way. This is Midpoint Talk with your hero, Mark Biro, and we're at 88.5 WMNF. Let's talk to James in St. Pete. Hello, James.
What was that little interlude, some Trump light?
Yes, Trump light.
Okay, I got it. Well, this is just real quick. To the callers that say they won't vote for Biden, and I understand you got to vote what you believe, but here's the deal. Anything other than a vote for Biden is a vote that didn't do anything to defeat Trump.
Yeah, that's an interesting perspective.
Yeah, I mean, it's not the greatest scenario in the world, but that's it. And as far as your VP candidates, I like Elizabeth Warren, and I like some of the other candidates too, but the caller that said that maybe we should choose that governor candidate from Georgia, hey, it may be time.
Yeah, it could be. I like all his prospective nominees.
Who can work well with Joe? I mean, that's what it's good. That's good.
I think every one of them.
Very important. So.
Yes, I do too. All right, sir, thank you. Thank you for your time and calling. Let's talk to Rance in Tampa Palms.
Yes, sir. How are you doing today?
All right, sir. How about you?
I'm fine, man.
Good.
You can't win over these Republicans. Don't waste your time with them. It doesn't matter what Trump do. They're always going to be who they are. And the problem that I have with Democratic Party is that many times over, they start sounding like Republicans because they don't think that most strong women are good enough to run this country. And that's the pitfall that we fell in during the Hillary Clinton campaign.
Yeah.
A lot of people wouldn't vote for Hillary. As a matter of
because
fact,
she was a woman?
Yeah.
Yeah.
There were so many.
Yeah, I was surprised at that kind of reaction, be honest with you. But I think you're right. Yeah.
I'm surprised. I mean, I've been living here 23 years. I'm from Jamaica. I can tell her. I listen to people talk.
Jamaica, man.
Woman. Yeah. Yeah, man. We met before.
Yes, sir.
We met at CORE before.
That's right.
Anyway, American men conveniently love women. They're in a strip club or something like that, but when they're in the position of authority, they don't give them that rating. It's like, I've heard stupid things like, yeah, if she's on her whatever, her menses, then she's going to start a war.
Yeah.
I mean, in recent history, there's never been a woman president or prime minister that started a war, except for Margaret Thatcher.
Sure.
And they call her the Hand Lady.
Yeah.
But, I mean, Kamala Harris is a very good contender because she's strong, and American men don't like strong women.
Yeah, I agree.
For whatever reason.
I don't know why either, but I look at it, the people that wouldn't vote because it's a woman, they were going to vote for Biden anyway.
Well, yeah, but I'm telling you something right now. If somebody has taken over the candidacy of Hillary Clinton instead of Hillary Clinton, they would have won. If it's a man, they would have won.
Sure.
Right. But a lot of men, even some of the people calling on your program, I heard them. I won't call names, but I heard them say they're going to vote for Trump that time. No, the same people, they don't call in anymore because they're ashamed.
Yeah.
And I called on one of them one time when I was on your show because he was one of them who hated Obama so much and he hated Hillary Clinton. And now he's crying. He's saying Obama is such a nice man. Really, you change your opinion so much.
Yeah, it's very sad. Very sad, yeah. Rands. Listen, I appreciate hearing from you.
Let me say this quick. If the people out there are going to sit down and say they're not going to vote because it's a woman who's going to be vice president, then we're going to get 4 more years of the same. And, I mean, we're screwed. And don't be complaining when Trump starts coming down hard on you.
I agree. I agree, sir. Thanks for calling. Call again.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Let's talk to Frank, or rather Hank, in Sarasota. Hello, Hank.
Yes, Mark. How you doing?
Real good, sir.
Hey, thanks for everything you do out there. First of all, I'd like to straighten out the Trump supporters on the economy.
Okay.
I lived through the whole Great Recession, worked in construction. When that dropped off the map, started my own business. And I found myself doing rather well, I'd say, 2-3 years before Trump got elected. Okay, so... And you could look back at the stock market. It was setting all kinds of records back then.
Yes, that's right.
So I want them to understand.
Let's put it this way, Frank. Whoever the next president will be, they will never inherit the kind of economy that Obama left Trump.
Exactly.
But it's not recognized.
Yes, all he did was step in, you know what, and he just takes credit.
Sure.
What others have done, he's done nothing to speak of other than give rich people money.
I agree.
And we've got to make sure these people understand that because they seem to want to forget or just don't understand.
United States of Amnesia.
Yeah, hey, yeah, that's a good one.
Yes, it is.
And also, I would go with Stacey Abrams. I think because of what happened to her and what she's doing now to try and get the electoral system under control or help to, get us so we can all have votes counted.
Well, your vote makes it 4 for her and 4 for Elizabeth Warren. So it's a close one between the two of them. Let's see what happens. Thanks, Hank. I don't think that was Hank Aaron. Let's talk to Jill in St. Pete. Hello, Jill.
Hi, Mark. How are you?
I'm so good that you called.
Mark, I want to put in a word for Karen Bass. I think she's terrific.
She is terrific.
She's got a good history. She said a few things that they're going to pick on. But if you look at our overall record in California and also in the Congress, in the House of Representatives, she is hot stuff. She really, really would do.
She stands up for the people, for the working people in her district.
Yes, she's terrific. But I also wanted to mention these briefings that Trump gives.
Yeah, they're little campaign stops.
Well, they turn out to be campaign stops. So, you know, whatever happened to equal time? Once upon a time, if we gave one candidate, 5 minutes, we had to give the other candidate 5 minutes. And I don't see these TV stations giving Joe Biden equal time because, he should be able to answer all of these stupid things that Trump's saying about the Democrats.
Well, after the nominating process makes it official, you'll see a lot more trimming down of Trump press conferences. They're already trimming them down because they see it as campaign stops.
That's what it is, and it isn't right then to be using the taxpayer money and our time. We have to watch him on TV, watch him say all this inane stuff, when I would really rather be doing watching something else if I was on the news channel.
Well, he presents himself, to use his words, like no other person in history.
That I will agree with. And when we say stump, we're meaning a different word. I know.
Yes. Thank you, Jill. Appreciate it. Let's run through these quickly. Let's talk to Fran in Largo. Hello, Fran.
Oh, thanks, Mark. Want to say to anybody that is thinking about voting for Trump again, we need to elect somebody that's going to help us heal because we're sick. I mean, with the coronavirus, we are sick. And the economy, everything else, I think, pales in comparison.
Who would you like to see as vice president?
Probably Susan Rice. Probably.
Okay.
She's
got three votes.
Yeah.
In this hour.
That's amazing, yeah.
All right, Fran, listen, let me run. Okay. I appreciate the call. Let's get Steve in. He's been waiting. Steve in Tampa.
Mark, just very quickly, the reason a lot of us didn't want to vote for Hillary was because she was a war hawk and at least a bit of a fascist.
Uh-huh. And this guy isn't.
No, he's a bit more of a fascist. In the last election, we had a choice between a closet fascist and an open fascist. We just chose the open one.
Well, I don't know how closet it was, but all you had to do was hear the way he talked, and you would understand it. But I understand
I'm
your point.
Green Party this time, just like last time.
You what?
I am voting Green Party this time, just like I did last time. I ain't voting for tired old retarded Joe.
Okay. All right, Stephen.
Thank you.
I'm sure Mike heard you and loves it.
I hope so. See ya.
Yes, sir. All right. Wow. That was something. I don't know about you, but I am so glad we're at the end of this program. I thought something as fluffy as who would be the vice president would really be entertaining. But as you could see, it was. But anyway, I want to thank Barbara Fling for being our phone producer. She did her usual excellent job. And by the way, I want to give a hello to Jam Simpson out there. Jam always did the phone producing here for many years. And we talk once in a while by email. Thank you, Barbara Fling. Rob Lori produced this program. And tomorrow, in this seat, at this time, will be Super Nola. You won't want to miss that. He's fantastic. The Wednesday host on Midpoint, right after the top of the hour news, we're going to have Kwaku with African Safari. And I hope you'll listen in. This is your hero, Mark Biro, saying thank you for calling, thank you for listening, and I'm on my way.
President Franklin Delano Roosevelt, Oman, UAE, Chile.
But China's their supply chain is breaking up.
We must seek real.
This is WMNF Tampa.
Solutions. As bad.